first kiss?
Seventh grade.
Open mouth.
Oh, yeah. I only started open mouth. Yeah, that was cool.
That is cool.
I was cool as fuck. Dude, I was ready to fuck. Like, in seventh grade, I was dialed in to be a god. A
Dude,
god.
Not, I don't want to, like, sidetrack this. That is like Hitler. Like,
100%.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
And we're back. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. I know your health is getting better. How are you feeling today?
I feel fucking amazing. I feel fucking amazing. I'm so ready for that 10K. My hips don't work right now.
10K?
5K, 5K, 5K. Okay. I ran 3.2 miles in 32 minutes roughly today.
Okay.
So I have some work to do. But it's crazy how your brain works when you run, because it is like being on a roller coaster. You just think clear thoughts. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, this is, I was listening to a podcast. Are you familiar with the Victorian age?
I'm not like well versed in it.
Well, let me catch you up.
Okay.
The Victorian age is when Queen Victoria became queen.
Oh.
She had her Jubilee ball, which means she was queen for 50 years. And I was thinking comedians should get, we should do like a quinceañera for comedians. When you get to 20 years, when you get to 30 years.
You get a celebration.
Yeah, there should be like a celebration. We need to bring back the Friars Club.
Yeah, man.
We need a community again.
Yeah, it's kind of fractured.
Yeah. Wait, were black people let in the Friars Club?
I don't know.
Because I don't remember like a lot of black guys in the Friars. I think it was like an old Jewish man's thing.
It was like, it's New York, right?
And it's New York.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was the base. But I don't know if they excluded people. It was just like their friends. It was like,
I went to a club one time, like one of those Soho houses for a meeting, and my manager showed up.
I went to the Friars Club.
You went to? I've never been to the Friars Club.
Yeah, I went.
I would
there.
Love to be in the Friars Club.
Yeah, it was cool.
How come? What is it dead?
No, it was in New York, and somebody took me there for a meeting because they belonged. Yeah,
really? Who?
Like a business guy. It wasn't like an entertainment
guy.
Did
you see any old school dudes?
No, they just have really cool, like old, you know, like photos, paintings, like mementos and stuff like that.
Top five best old ethnicities.
Just as an ethnicity?
When you run into that ethnicity, like white old is kind of creepy.
Right.
White old is like, there's some bodies under there.
Yeah, it's dark.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's dark.
Yeah. Old black men have to be number one.
They're really fun.
Their hands.
Best. I just meant the stories they have.
No, their hands. Old black hands. If I could get old black. Do you ever hear Stanhope's joke about, I can't do it. It's going to, I'm sure he's put it out. About he hates old people.
Mm-mm.
He hates old people. But he's getting old. Mm-hmm. That's like being a racist and slowly getting black.
Yeah.
Stanhope's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Old black hands are number one.
Yeah.
And by the way, black men go gray so good.
Well, they also, I mean, it's like an old cliche thing, but they just age better, man.
They do. They do. And their stories are better. They slow down. Get me my nerve pills.
Yeah, there's dudes that, like, I mean, even someone like Eddie Murphy, isn't he like 60?
No.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's got to be, oh, I guess.
Yeah, but you look at him and you're like, what?
Wait, Eddie Murphy's older than Marc Maron?
How old is he?
Marc Maron's older than Eddie.
He's 62 years old, man.
See how old Marc Maron is? Marc Maron's as old as Eddie Murphy?
2 years younger.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's white versus black right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No offense, Mark. I'd much rather be Eddie.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure Mark would, too.
You're not going to look like that at 62.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to look like Eddie.
Top seed are black men, right?
They're up there, yeah.
Okay. Asian?
Sure, but I mean, Asian's pretty broad. Do you mean like specific?
Footnote, 10 smallest dicks on the planet. Footnote that. I just learned the 10 smallest countries with the 10 smallest dicks.
10 smallest countries?
No, the 10 countries, but they're actually large countries with the smallest dicks. I don't think you're going to be shocked.
Who did the research?
I did the research last night.
Oh.
I love when my brain goes, who's got the smallest dick in the world?
Can I tell you something? This is a total kind of a sidebar here. Seriously? So, you know the thing we did yesterday?
Yeah.
Dude, your dick looked really nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't even prop it up. I didn't even pump it.
I know.
It. Thank you so much.
Were you feeling it or is that?
No, I just, you know, just regular old dick. I almost pulled my dick out when Natasha took her shirt off.
That's cool.
I almost, because I felt like a camaraderie when she ripped her shirt off.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Natasha Leggero followed me at the improv and then ripped her shirt off.
You can find it online.
You can definitely find it online. Her and Jason Kelsey.
But I mean, like, you had some good hang.
Thank you. We have the same dick.
Well.
We do.
Wait, does yours get smaller than it was yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
My dick at times.
So there was like decent weight to it yesterday.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. I think it's the shoes I'm wearing.
What do you mean?
I think I'm wearing fancy shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing flip-flops because it's raining.
Yeah.
And so I think when I stand a little taller, my dick just goes, okay.
And hangs a little lower.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay.
My balls are non-existent since testosterone.
They've been shrinking?
They're like a coin purse. Like just, I mean, I can't find them sometimes. I have to search for them. You know, when you pick corn out of a salad because you don't like corn?
Yeah.
That's how I feel eating my balls.
I do that with olives.
I'm on so many topics right now. This thing's kicking me in the dick.
Really?
Back to old men.
Back to, this is, we're going to, and then we're going to do dicks.
Old men. Well, hold on. We never even finished Victorian age.
Yeah, we...
We haven't gotten to, like, those kings, when they get old, look old as fuck.
Yeah.
You don't want to be an old white man.
No.
I mean, I guess I do want to be an old white man, but it's like, there's a certain age where you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, old Cuban men have a good look.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's true. They have old Italian men, especially if they're from, like, Milan or Naples or, like, they care about what they look like. That's the thing. You got to care. I think white American aging men just throw in the towel. They just go like, yeah, fuck it. It's over.
Yeah.
And if you have that mentality, then you're okay with looking like shit. And over for some reason in those cities, they're just like, no, you take pride in your appearance forever.
I think, okay, you ready for this? This is going to be borderline racist.
Yeah, that's my favorite type. Go ahead.
I think old white men believe they deserve to be old white men. I think old black men are like, I can't believe I made it here.
Wow.
So they
that's
really,
actually very insightful.
Really relish in it. Like any old black man has beaten so many fucking odds in his life that when you see them and they're smoking a cigarette and they got a fucking drink in their hand.
Yeah.
God damn it, man. Why isn't there a podcast to old black men? Let's do it.
You want to produce one?
Let's get two old black men and we'll produce it. And we'll give them topics.
What were the topics?
I can't wait till Cam and Mace get old.
Yeah, that'd be great.
They're going to be, because they're like, what? Okay. New subject.
Victorian era?
How old is at what age does a white man get old? And at what age do you consider a black man getting old?
That's a good question, because a lot of white guys, like at 50, feel old. 55. Old.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah.
But again, it's your outlook. It's the way you approach things.
Oh, it's culture.
Yeah.
Black culture is a youthful culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you look at Cameron, he still dresses cool as shit.
Yeah.
And still has, like, he might consider himself an old head, but he's, like, still a young
dude. But he's probably, what, in his 40s?
He's got to be 48. How old's Cameron?
No.
God, if I'm older than Cameron, that's really sad that he wrote music that I connected to, and I was older than he
was. He's 47.
47.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good-looking man.
Dude, you should rock exactly what he's wearing in that photo.
Okay.
Pink fur with the flip phone, diamond rings.
He got shot.
You could do that.
I wouldn't mind getting shot.
It'd be great press. It'd
be badass. Like a nice shoulder wound or something.
Yeah.
And then I still do the show. That's not, I'm not putting that out there. So don't no one shoot me.
Okay. Yeah. Don't do that.
All right. Asian men, old Asian men, like Mr. Miyagi. They seem like they'd be wise.
Wise, cool kind of swag of like, I've lived, I know a lot of things. And also, they seem a lot more stoic than any other race.
Yeah. Okay. How about let's separate whites. What about old Slavic men?
Tough.
Fucking hair coming out their nose and ears.
Yeah, they always feel tough.
Gray, thick hair, dirty fingernails.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't say like, I have a cramp in front of an old Slavic man. My calf's cramping.
They get baby arms and don't even notice it.
Yeah.
Like they have like ailments that they just go.
You don't complain.
Old Hawaiian men.
Same. Like tough. Yeah. I feel like they're very tough.
Is white the softest race?
Well, who's going to be softer than an old white? Or just any white? You're thinking of American white.
Okay. Yeah. Canadian white's a little tougher.
Cold as shit.
Cold as shit. And they have to fight moose all the time.
Do they?
Well, that they're always on moose or meese. Moose? Mooses?
Yeah, I think.
Mooses are everywhere. They're not, really everywhere.
It's not meese.
It's the moose.
Yeah.
Mooses are everywhere.
Mooses are everywhere. Bears, elk.
Fucking, it's amazing that people settled in Canada.
Remember I showed you that bear eating that guy's face? And you can, and you can see it like get stuck and then it's like his nose goes flying off.
Isla and I were listening to, we listen to these survival podcasts when we drive her to school.
Yeah.
And the hardest I've seen this kid laugh, and it's your laugh, was the guy goes, so the bear attacked me and I was trying to get my bearings and figure out what, you know, what was going on. And I looked down and I was trying to collect myself and I realized, oh, on the ground, that's my goatee.
Yeah.
And Isla went and started laughing hysterically. It's his goatee.
Yeah. His lips were on the ground. His fucking, he was like, I picked up my ear and my lips and my face. And fucking, what the
I don't want to be killed by an animal on my own territory.
Yeah.
Like I want to be in their territory.
We're talking about two different videos, by the way.
Yeah. Though. Yeah.
One is a guy who's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Like you're watching him die. And a sloth bear is
how does Instagram allow that?
I don't know.
And how do you get into it? I've gotten into a thread before where I wish I could keynote the thread. I got into breastfeeding videos once and I was like, there's one breastfeeding video, I think I might have showed it to you, where the kid kind of creeps you out.
Yeah.
Like he's sucking his mom's tit and he's a little too old and he's like, looks, winks at the camera.
He's like 11.
He's like 11.
Yeah.
And, but I've been in breastfeeding videos. I've been in the, have you been in the, I really love a roast beef sandwich videos?
Uh-uh.
Where the girl's got her phone. She goes, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, drops it?
And then drops it on her pussy.
Yeah.
And then goes, I love roast beef sandwiches. Yeah. I love, every time it's the funnest thing is try to screen grab
and see
that
their
moment.
Yeah.
And see their cooch.
Yeah.
The, how can they allow, I've seen so many death videos on Instagram.
I wish like one of the, you know how like Joe has had, like he had what's his name on, the guy that ran Twitter before and like,
Jack Dorsey.
Yeah. And it's like, why can't, I don't know, no one has asked Zuckerberg, I guess it's Zuckerberg, right? Because Meta owns Instagram. Like, why are we allowed to upload horrific deaths and watch them, but you cannot write a word or say a word?
Makes no sense.
It makes,
so or you can do a see nice most, meat print.
I mean, I saw two disabled people on a scoot, you know, like a meat, and they're meeping across the street in the crosswalk, like, and a van just plows through them and they go flying. And you're like, this is my good morning from Instagram.
He needs to step up his fucking game.
Yeah. But, well, like, where's the, so that's fine. You just saw two people die, got hit by a van, disabled people. But then if someone's like, fucking Biden, I don't know. They're like, oh, mute that. Your account's delete. Like, what the fuck is the problem? It doesn't make any sense.
There's no, I learned this in a speech in ninth grade. My dad gave me the verbiage. There's no distinction for their bias.
Yeah.
Like, there's no distinction for their bias.
Yeah.
It was, my speech was about the lowering the drinking age to 18.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's the drinking age in a few places, right?
No.
No, not in this. Well, in the States, it used to be in a couple of places.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, you could drink in New Orleans at 18.
There you go. Yeah.
I remember that. That was fucking great.
And then I think, isn't Mexico 18 or something? And places in Europe, I mean.
Yeah.
What are the drinking ages around the world?
What's the lowest drinking age?
Yeah.
The majority is 18.
There you go.
The brain is still maturing.
15 in Mali and Central Africa, African Republic.
Yeah.
Wow. 15.
That's not a place you want to wake up hungover. Central Africa.
At 15.
You wake up with a wig on. You're like, wait, what the fuck did I do? Is this a man's liver in my hand?
Holy shit.
Look at that.
Oh, God. Ours is so lame.
Russia's 18.
Mm.
All those are 18. And then what's the youngest?
It's 15, right?
15 in Africa?
In Mali and Central Africa.
They live harder there.
Yeah, I would think so.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. Sometimes the best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. Therapy can be a great place to work through the challenges you face in all your relationships, whether it be with your friends, your work, people you work with, your significant other, anyone, your children. I know for a fact, I have worked on maintaining relationships. And by the way, you need that reflection back to yourself, someone kind of showing you what you're doing. And for me, it always started with the problem. Here's what I notice every time my daughter and I talk about parenting things. This is what happens. Now, I was just focusing on what happens. When I sat with a therapist, he said, well, what are you doing in this thing? And I said, I'm parenting. He said, how are you parenting? And we went through that. And for me, I ended up discovering the way I was parenting wasn't adjacent to how I liked being parented as a child. I would have never done that without therapy. And if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/bears today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bears. Have you ever experienced the agony of harsh smoke, throat burning, or coughing attacks when smoking cannabis? The struggle is real, people, but the solution is Chili. That's right. I'm talking about the smoothest way to light up, and that is with FreezePipe. FreezePipe makes a unique line of freezable pipes, bubblers, and bongs that are 80% colder than using ice cubes to chill smoke. The magic is freezable glycerin chambers that come in on every piece. Simply pop the chamber in the freezer for an hour and the smoke passes through them instantly. It is instantly chilled by over 300 degrees, so every puff arrives ice cold and cough free. I'm telling you, I'm a big flower guy. I am. I just am. And I don't know. It's the ritual flower, in my opinion. But I was turned off because everything else burned my throat and I would end up coughing. FreezePipe makes it so smooth that you can enjoy the taste that the grower intended you to enjoy and not get any of the pushback, any of the harshness. American-owned with over 100,000 happy customers, FreezePipe uses the thickest glass and market-leading glycerin chambers for a smoother experience you have to feel to believe. Ditch harsh smoke forever by visiting thefreezepipe.com and use code BEARS for 10% off your order. That's thefreezepipe.com and code BEARS for 10% off. Shop today for free shipping and smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom.
Do you ever see the stories about Sierra Leone where the kids are just snorting brown and just to get through their day?
Mm-mm. No.
Can you imagine being 7 years old just being like, fuck, we're eating.
7 years old and somebody gives you like an AK-47?
There's a civil war going on.
No, it's fucking insane.
Oh, my God.
Well, tell us more about the Victorian era.
Okay, so you're going to like this a lot. So Queen Victoria is like not supposed to be the queen. and then like so many people die, she ends up becoming the queen. She ends up slut shaming her best friend.
Not cool.
Not cool. And then the lady dies and the whole country turns on her. So then she marries her cousin, Prince Albert, not the dude with the thing in his cock. I think that's their kid.
Yeah.
But, and Prince Albert, I love this. When they argue, he writes her a letter explaining why she was wrong. And then she has to write a letter explaining how she understood that she was wrong. She's the fucking queen.
Yeah.
Explaining. And then once he received her letter, he'd read it. And if he found it acceptable, he'd give her a certificate of growth.
Really?
Fucking love it. I fucking want to bring that back so bad. She called him daddy. Or no, she called him master. And he called her...
I like that.
He called her baby or something.
I was watching this thing about your guy, Hitler. And there's this...
thought you were going to say Winston Churchill.
That was fascinating to me, which was that they so feared his cabinet. All the high-ranking guys.
Yeah.
Himmler, Goebbels, all those guys so feared disappointing him or telling him bad news. They were so scared to give him bad news that towards the end of the war... when it was clear that they were losing battles,
yeah.
When he was like, how's that going in like Poland and Russia? They'd be like, great. And he's like, are we making, like we're making progress? And they're like, absolutely. We just need to send some more supplies and troops, but it's going well. And they knew that they were losing and that it was, and they were like so scared. They were just like, it's going very well. And like, they, like their air force was completely collapsed and they were like, yeah, we just got to keep going. You know,
it sounds like agents and managers. It does, though, you know, when they're like, you know, everyone's ticket sales are low. Omaha's a tough market to break. It's true, though. There's so many people.
Yeah.
There's agents and managers.
Are scared.
Are they scared of the night of the long knives?
they're scared. You're right. Yeah.
It's true. It's so easy to be a yes man.
Yeah. So, you know.
It's so easy to be like, I would definitely be one of those Nazis.
Yeah.
Do not isolate that audio. I would definitely be. Do you think you'd have enough pushback to be able to tell Hitler? I would never. I'd be like, you're doing great, boss.
No, I think it's pretty clear that everybody was like, there's a reason that they all were saying that. They were super scared, dude. It was more like they weren't like, I don't think they were scared of like, you know, his physical violence or anything. They were just like, I can't be the one to deliver the real news to this guy that it's not going well.
I would love to have that kind of power.
As
I told you today, I had an idea for our Porosos.
Was it that Hitler,
it's probably already done. We've already done it.
Oh.
Hopefully we've done it.
Oh.
Dressing up as a gimp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And man, I do not have a Himmler in my bed.
No.
I got a Winston Churchill.
Telling you.
You don't know how to read.
Yeah.
That's what he told, you know, like Queen Elizabeth had a third grade education.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a queen. And imagine, and Winston Churchill had to be like, okay. So you understand we own all these places, right? She was like, what does that mean?
Really?
She because at a certain age, they're like, yo, you're going to be the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to learn how to read more.
Yeah.
Like, don't, math is done. No algebra, no trigonometry.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to curtsy and not make eye contact.
Right.
And so that's what they teach them.
Then when complicated things came up, she was like, what's that all about?
And then she took it upon herself to try to learn, and it kind of fucking creeped out all the dudes in parliament. They're like, whoa, 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 what's this bitch doing?
Yeah.
She's got an opinion. Yo, Elizabeth, curtsy to us real quick.
Yeah.
Why don't you write a legit letter of apology and we'll give you a certificate of growth? That is so fucking...
Why don't you start issuing those?
Oh, I would love that.
You can.
No. We're the exact opposite.
What do you mean?
If Leanne and I fight, I figure out what I did wrong.
Always.
I always did. I wanted to talk to you about this. Put a pin in small sticks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I had a moment of growth this morning. I laid in bed beating myself up over about me, not liking me, and I had a moment where I realized the time in life, two times in life that are very powerful in my moment in life. One was about shame, because I never really, and one was about joy. I'll go to joy. Shame's stupid. I think I've talked about it before, but like there was a point in seventh grade, I was really cool. I was really cool in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy. I'm not a very deep person, so I don't think a lot about life, you know? And I was even less in seventh grade.
Sure.
I just was about, I liked the clothes I wore. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked my clothes. I liked my hair. I was on varsity football, varsity baseball, or JV football, JV baseball. I was a great athlete. I was hanging out with eighth graders. Like,
it's a big boost.
And I knew ninth graders. Like, ninth graders would, I remember this ninth grader let me drive his car. And in seventh grade, like, I was cool as fucking shit. And I was happy as fuck. Like, I was just always happy.
Yeah.
I remember this girl said, the first girl I ever kissed too. It's the best kiss of my life.
Yeah.
First kiss.
Seventh grade.
Best kiss. I kissed her like four times.
Oh. Open mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I only started open mouth.
You started open mouth?
I started.
There was no like.
Fuck no. I went after it.
Nice.
I was cool.
That is cool.
I was cool as fuck. Dude, I was ready to fuck. Like in seventh grade, I was dialed in to be a god. A
dude,
god.
Not. I don't want to like sidetrack this. That is like Hitler. Like. I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
Hitler had a lot of road bumps. Dad was an alcoholic.
Yeah, well,
he was Jewish. So then in seventh grade, said to me, "No one's this happy. You're hiding something," and I really wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
I was dumb. I was dumb. I was like Forrest Gump. I was really like I didn't know what she was saying, and then I realized all the cool kids had like an issue. They had like a parents were split up or they were like brooding.
Yeah.
So I watched cool kids brood and I started to look for my brewing.
Yeah.
I started to look for my troubled. And then I remember being like fake. It was a lie, but I'd be like, like stuff like that. Cause that's what they did.
Oh, to like match their energy and like, oh, you're doing this. So I should do it too.
Yeah. And then I started, And I think this is something I'm working to get through. My whole life, I started caring what people thought of me. I never cared what anyone thought of me.
At that age.
And in seventh grade, I started caring. Eighth grade, I was really cool. And I was, I could feel it like falling apart. Cause I was like, I wasn't being authentically me. Or at least when you think you're that cool, you're oblivious to the fact that you're not, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
which is great.
It's so fucking beautiful. My question to you is, when did you, because you authentically don't care what people think about you.
That's not true.
You do.
No, of course I care.
No, you don't.
I care less.
Okay, let's go to the wrestlers. So like when you got lit up the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I remember, so the way my brain works is I may not like wrestling, but mm-hmm. I would be afraid to share that because I wouldn't want to alienate someone who likes me because I'm afraid they wouldn't like me, and then I just start researching wrestling and try, you know, like.
Yeah, I think that specifically, I could give you an insight on that.
Okay.
That's genuine.
Okay.
I genuinely thought they were retarded. Like when I did that. Hold on, and I was like, who cares about these, you know, these fucking morons? But, and then wait though. But I think.
I feel that way too, but I stop.
But here's why, this is where I've evolved.
Okay.
This is where I've evolved. As I've aged the last few years,
yes.
What I started to get was I think some perspective on this, where I started to realize that people who enjoy things that are not for me, I started to go like, oh, I'm being an asshole. And that, no, I'm serious. I swear to God. To me, this was insightful. I started to see how it's all the same. It's all the same. It's just... What and enjoying an NFL game and enjoying Disneyland and enjoying WWE, it's all the same.
Hold on.
It's all the same. It's okay. Just something that somebody goes, this gives me fulfillment. you can make arguments about the nuances, but those are like, it's kind of a waste of energy. And I used to make that argument more. And now I see that whether you like the, like if you like hip hop and that's cool, or you like folk music and that's not, it's like, it's the same. It's something that you're listening to that gives you joy or fulfillment. So I didn't really have that perspective. I would always just go like, nah, like that shit sucks. And yeah. I still have that. I still feel that. But I get it more. Like when I see wrestling now, I don't even have the same instinct that I used to have. It actually has faded in me. And it, like, I just go like, oh, I get it. Like I see people screaming and cheering. It's like, yeah. And if you go to like the, if you put the camera on the Taylor Swift crowd and the WWE crowd and the NBA crowd, they all look the same in the crowd. Like they all have the same emotion.
Yeah.
So there's just like a different thing. But like, I just used to want to point out that I think this is, but I realize that it's actually just, it's all the same thing that you're going for. You're going for some enjoyment and fulfillment.
So
Factor's delicious, ready to eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week, plus you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Head to factormeals.com/bears50 and use code bears50 to get 50% off. That's code bears50 at factormeals.com/bears50 to get 50% off. Naturally, our hunt for a tasty and hefty nicotine pouch has led us to Lucy Breakers, a totally unique nicotine capsule pouch, a breakthrough in nicotine tech, if you will. Each Lucy Breakers pouch contains a liquid-filled capsule. Give the capsule a little bite to break it, then toss it in your lip. Why the capsules? Pouches have to be wet to work. The breaker wets the pouch for instant flavor and nicotine. Lucy Breakers come in two strengths, 4 milligrams and 8. Yeah. And they have so many flavors like mint, mango, apple ice, berry citrus, apple cider, and espresso. I got my hands on my first Lucy Breakers and I was like a kid in a candy store. I love it. You just do a slight little and it bursts and then the flavor just hits you. It's fun. It's like a ritual. And I am deep into these Lucy Breakers. Visit lucy.co/bears and use promo code bears to get 20% off your first order. That's lucy.co/bears and use promo code bears to get 20% off your first order. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So my perspective was I always envied those people.
The people that...
Everyone that had things,
yeah.
I envied girls who cut.
Okay, wait.
Because I was like, they got something. Like, I didn't have anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't have anything authentic that was me. Like, I liked football. And
I was bummed that I couldn't smoke. Like, when in high school, when kids were smoking,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, let me try. And I couldn't, like, I would try to inhale, and I'd be like, and I would just go into a coughing fit. And I was like, do you hold it? They're like, no, you got to pass it down. Like, you know, yeah. I couldn't do it. And so like, I was like, God, I wish I could smoke.
Were there people you identified as cool people and you'd look at them from afar and stare at them and go, I wish I was like that.
Yeah, of course.
For real?
Yeah. But like, I think that happens in, you know, especially like the years you're talking about in like middle school, high school. That's the thing is like, cause you have the cooler kid, sometimes they're in your class, but especially like an older kid, you're like, oh, like the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak to people, the things they do.
I still do that. I mean, still look at people and go like Jeselnik. Yeah. I remember one time he just walked into the back bar. Jeselnik's gotta be like 37, right? How old is Jeselnik? I'm just saying he's much younger than me. And he came back to the back bar and he had a girl with them. She was really pretty. And he was like, he was just so cool. Like, he just came back and he, like, dapped me up and was like...
45.
45?
Yeah.
Jesus, he looks good.
Yeah, he's got a nice head of hair.
God damn, is it real? It's real, isn't it?
Looks like it.
That's fucking annoying.
I mean...
But, like, he came back and he was just really cool. Or Freddie Gibb.
Yeah?
Freddie Gibb, one time, came back and, like, he was nice and he was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like... And I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown-up. I mean, for... Lack of better words, I'm a Becker words. I'm a successful grown up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Theoretically, someone should be looking at me going, God, man, I wish I was that cool. But I'm sitting there going like, God. And is it,
because I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking about?
What?
I was thinking about your, what we were talking about, your enthusiasm when, like meeting anyone.
Yeah.
Of, and I remember, I don't know if I said it or not, when you were like, oh, but like, when you told me like how I manage it well,
yeah,
like celebrity.
Is it real?
Well, I think there's a reason why you think I manage it well.
What's that?
I don't give a shit about meeting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
Well, right. So I'm not putting on, I'm not like being cool. I'm just like, I don't care that I'm meeting you.
Okay. You know? So how do you get to there?
But there are people that I would
like,
be.
What happened to you that made you that person?
There's just, I have less, I still get, there's people I would nerd out on. I think my window for who I get excited about is just much more narrow than yours. You said you get excited if you run into a TikToker that you've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely be like, I don't, you know, I might not even know who they are probably.
I walked through one time, I don't know, I can't remember when this was, but I was in LA and I walked through a hotel and Dave Portnoy was at a table and he stood up and was like, Bert. And I went, and I said to who I was with, can you believe he knows who I am? And they were like, yeah.
I'm like you in that though.
I go, I can't believe Dave Portnoy, this billionaire, millionaire, fucking media guy who really, he's like you, I think, because he does not give a fuck. Yeah. He's like you. I want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I like who I am, but like I'm trying to get to like.
I think your enthusiasm, like in general,
yeah,
is a really good quality. I think what you do is something you probably don't think is cool, but it is cool, which is that you inspire other people that are adults to go, oh yeah, look how he's showing his enthusiasm. Because adults kind of restrict their enthusiasm. They pull it, they rein it in because they're like, I don't want to, that's like a kid quality.
Yeah.
But it's natural for you. So it's, I would never want it to go away because it's who you are.
So, okay. So we'll just dig a little deeper.
Okay.
And this is.
Now why, here's the deeper thing too, like that I thought about. I'm like, why do you care to show the person who I don't even think you're really that excited to meet that you're excited to meet them. That's the thing that's I think about. Like, are you actually excited to meet all of these people, or you just feel like you feel an obligation to show them?
No, it starts welling up in me.
Really?
Yeah, and I can't control it.
Well, then it's who you are.
I DM'd Shannon Doherty this morning.
Okay, what'd you send her?
I don't know. I had Leanne reread it, write it for me.
Why did you DM her?
Because I'm following her journey through breast cancer.
Oh, geez.
And it's like super inspiring.
Yeah.
And then, but then like, so like you would, so this is, okay, this is a great difference. You would see this. It's really fucking, first of all, I mean this for real. I am at best a casual Shannon Doherty fan. Like I'm not like, I don't have her posters up. I liked 90210. I didn't watch Witches of Eastwick, but like, I know it was a show.
Sure.
But I'm watching her tell her story about going through breast cancer and now it's spread and she's talking about her funeral and she doesn't want to have a funeral. But it's like, it's really brave. And then all of a sudden I turn into this like fucking diehard Shannon Doherty fan. And then I get a cup of coffee and a Zen in me and I'm like, I got to DM her.
Yeah.
Like you would never DM her. Like I would, and then I don't even know what the fuck DM says, but I'm sure it's inappropriate.
You think it's inappropriate?
I'm sure it's, you know, the way I fucking DM and you've read my DMs. I can't fucking, but like, that's something I would do is reach out, like randomly reach out and then go like, I don't know. It overwhelms me. Let's go deeper.
Okay, let's go deeper.
So, you know, I've said this, I've shared this on a few places, but I have this thing of, and I'm trying to get to like, are you conditioned to feel this way? Or are these things that you can work through in therapy? Because it happened to you. This is a very crazy fucking moment in my life. I was 10 years old or 11 years old. Wrestling was really big in our group of friends.
Yeah.
And we were in the outfield. I'm sure I've told you the story. And they were doing, I was like the youngest out there. And these guys were doing all the Met wrestling moves on me. And I was just scared because I was the youngest kid. And at one point, they pile drive me, put me in like a figure four leg lock. And a guy took out a pair of scissors. Have I told you a story?
I don't think so.
And he cut my hair. Now, I'm 11. I'm in the outfield. I really honestly was just like, I just don't want to get stabbed in the eye. Like I was just in survival mode.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, whatever. Oh, okay, that hurt. You know, like, oh, flip me down. Okay. And like they're doing wrestling moves to me. I'm just trying to get the fuck out of there. I get in the car with my dad. I felt no shame in anything that happened out there. I got my hair cut. Not like bad, but like they cut lock. It's like a wrestling thing.
Yeah.
And my dad got in the car with me and I was sitting in the front seat. I was oblivious. And my dad goes, they cut your fucking hair? And I was like, oh yeah. And he goes, weren't you humiliated? How the fuck could you let them do that? And I felt shame.
Yeah, sure.
Then I felt shame. I didn't feel it. I was like, fuck it, dude. Let's just survive.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, I was like, fuck. And then that has stuck with me my entire life. That, and it's a mantra that I've said. It's when, you know, when Ari drugged me, it was the, you think I'm weak. And it, because in my life, I'm always just trying to like not stir the boat. I don't like confrontation. So I don't want to stir the water. I just go, I don't want to stir the pot. It's a fucking nine things different. But like, I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to like get into it. And like, there have been people, you know, specifically who have wronged me that I will tell you privately, I will go off on. But I would easily accept their apology and I would easily move past it as opposed to me then standing up for myself and going, no, fuck you. That apology, you fucked me. I won't accept. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I mean, the first thing you said was like, is this something you can work through in therapy? So my question was, have you talked about this in therapy before?
Yeah.
But, so I feel like it's something that is perfect for it.
But it's almost like I want to say you get taught it as a child, and then all of a sudden you like get into these self-fulfilling prophecies where in a weird way, I don't know if it's like if you seek those people out. And you surround yourself by people.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, like yeah. I go, my dad was an amazing dad. He still is an amazing dad. He gave me a lot of great qualities. I have to say that only because that makes it sound like a bad dad. But like he told me, you kill it under pressure, which I don't know if it was real or not, but I love pressure now because of that. And so like all of a sudden I love pressure. I love being put in a pressure situation. I love getting a big long read in front of a lot of people and doing it live. I love that shit. I love it because my dad taught me at a young age, whether it's real or not, when all the chips are on the table, that's when you perform.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I got the shame shit. And then in a weird way, just like I sometimes seek out pressure, I wonder if I seek out those bad people. And so I'm trying to get to like, I don't want to lose who I am and start not getting excited by people, but I would love a little bit of not giving a fuck. Because I think when you give too many fucks,
yeah,
all of a sudden you don't even know what is real anymore.
But this is very deep, but do you think you really give a fuck about some of this stuff? Like, let's say meeting these people, or is it that you feel almost like this, I need to do this for them. Like I feel like when I'm with you and I see you interact with people, that it's almost like an extension, like a kind thing you're doing. Like, I'm going to make this person feel great about whoever they are and what they like. Because you always like are showering the person with like, you know, oh my God, you're amazing. And that's actually a nice thing to do for them. Right. It makes them feel like, oh wow. Like, you know me from this, you know me from that. It's almost like maybe you want that reciprocated too, right? Like you're kind of balancing it out. You're telling
maybe I'm doing that to get it back.
Maybe. I don't know. But I also feel like what you're saying about like, you know, seeking out, I mean, you would have more insight on it from your life, but like, it doesn't seem like you're somebody that seeks out these people that were, that will be abusive or confrontational or.
Yeah, but I can name like three solid bullies in my life that I've.
But current?
No, not right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you, you know, some of this is also like a evolving life process.
But like, okay. But like, okay.
Because I've been around a bully that you've been around before too. Mm-hmm. But it's like.
Two of them.
But you've moved on.
I have moved on. I have moved
on. So I would say that if that were a thing, it'd be like.
That took me a long time and you know that. Right. There was a period of times where you wouldn't answer my call because you're like, I know what this is about.
That's not true.
I know there was.
No. But I'm saying that like.
I remember hearing you exhale one time when I started and I was like, I'm doing this too often.
I don't think so. But I'm saying, wouldn't you commend yourself for the fact that I just asked you, who's like that now? And you're like, well, there's nobody like that now. So that's like,
I'm pretty kind of insulated though. I've gotten pretty insulated. I'm a little bit like Hitler. I'm pretty insulated.
There really are so many similarities between you and him, but, but yeah, you have your own bubble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you, I mean, you travel with, but then everybody does also. It's not like just you.
Yeah.
You think you're making yourself feel too safe? Is that,
because you have, ultimately, you've gotten these same people that I would say that were, I'll use bully as a broad term.
Yeah.
So I think they leverage your friendship into unhealthy places. Mm-hmm. Is that the fair way to say it?
Sure.
But you've been friends with these exact people too. And so I was always like, I felt like I was drawn to them. You were around them too. Mm-hmm. You've kind of distanced yourself. But you've distanced yourself in like a, like you were the first one to be like, ah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, because I think you, it's normal in life to run into toxic people. Like that's just part of life. There's part of life if you are, you know, participating in life, society, friendships, business, you're going to meet some.
What kind of people do you gravitate towards? Do you find where you go, you know what? Like, where's your hiccup? Like, where's the thing? I want to find the broken part of you.
Oh, come on. You know what's broken about.
Well, I know the broken parts. But no, like what's the thing where you go, how come I always have fucking.
Oh. I mean, I've gotten so much better at this thing.
Yeah.
Which is I used to feel a certain way and be unhappy with like somebody, whether it's personal or professionally, and I just suck it up and I just go, that's what I deserve, right? That's what I, and the difference now is like right away when I go, oh man, this sucks, like personally or professionally, I just go, I'm not going to do this. So it's really like, if you want to strip it down to its basics,
yeah,
it's acknowledging that you feel a certain way and saying it, as opposed to going, man, I feel this way and I'll just keep feeling this way. That's
what I do.
Well, but that's the work, right? Because I don't know that that comes, I don't know if it's fair to say that that comes completely naturally to anyone. I think it's learned or taught and worked on. Like I had to work on it.
Did Push help you like see things?
Yeah, she's good. I mean, because she's done a lot of work in that regard too.
She's really good. I feel like she's done more work than, like her and Leanne have done more work than me and you have done.
But I mean, for me, I would say, you know, I credit also, like it's great that she definitely would observe, like more observe me than like whatever my situation is. She's like, well, you're clearly feeling this way. But I also would say that therapy, that's why I brought, I think therapy is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's why I would, you know, when you're saying all these things, I'm like, this just is like perfect for you to dive, but to dive.
I wonder if people are listening and going like, ah, oh, yeah, I.
There's definitely people relating to this.
You think so?
1,000%. 1,000%.
Do you think everyone's listening is going, get to the 10 smallest dicks?
Well, a few people are for sure.
Okay.
And they're mostly there. Guys.
We should need to do 10 smallest dicks. Try to, I have the list.
Okay.
I have the list.
This is by Nation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet you could guess 5 without even doing any fucking thought process.
Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, Sierra Leone.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me go to my cloud.
You got the list up?
Yup.
So it's basically you're telling me that the stereotypes are basically correct. That's what you're saying.
The only one that's curious is why North Korea and South Korea aren't next to each other.
They're different on their... Wow.
I know.
Hmm.
10 smallest dicks, number 10.
Is it...
At... You ready for this?
Yeah.
At 4.3 inches average.
Okay. Is that flaccid or erect?
It's erect. It's not flaccid. No one measures your dick flaccid.
No, they do.
Who?
If you look up like... Average dick size, they'll go flaccid, erect.
Oh, these have to be erect.
Okay.
They have to be erect.
Okay. Okay.
And by the way, this is the size of mine, flaccid.
10? Number 10?
Number 10.
Which is?
4.3 inches.
Uh-huh.
It's an island.
Okay. It's an island. Is it, oh, okay. Philippines.
Ding, 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 ding. This should be
really?
A game show.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. Why isn't there a game show called Stereotypes? Where you go, guys, we're going to play a game. We need you to be the most horrible version of yourself to win money.
Here's how you do it, too. You don't try to pitch it to a network. You just put it on, like, Instagram or TikTok or something.
And you have 3 ethnicities all playing for money.
Yeah.
So they've got to be...
4.3, though, is number 10. Now we're going to get smaller.
We're getting smaller.
Okay.
It's also 4.3.
Oh, it's a tie.
It's a tie.
Give me a hint like you did in the last one.
South Korea.
Okay.
Okay, because by the way, I don't know I guess maybe it's their food, but North Korea is not even, we haven't even mentioned North Korea yet.
No, we haven't.
No. South Korea. Okay. And then.
What's the length of number 8?
This is 4.1 inches.
Okay. And any hint?
Two words. It's going to be a tough one.
Oh, it is?
It is, but only like when I say it, you'll go, oh, yeah, that is an Asian country.
Okay, just give it to me.
Sri Lanka.
Oh, Sri Lanka, okay.
Sri Lanka at 4.1 inches. They're getting smaller.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 7.
Your dad ran into a lot of these people.
Vietnamese.
Yep.
Wow. And what's that length?
4 inches.
Four.
Four. The average Vietnamese cock is four inches long.
Okay.
Erect. And then... Your dad probably stepped on a few of these people too.
Japanese?
No.
North Koreans?
No. They didn't know border lines at the time.
Oh, Chinese?
No, that's not even close to Vietnam.
Where?
Your dad was in Vietnam and then they were like, go left. And he was like, fuck,
Laos?
I think we're in Laos.
Okay.
Laos,
okay.
Good call.
Okay.
And Laos is, 4 inches. Coming in at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this is how little I know about history and how much I know about history.
Okay.
There was a huge ethnic cleansing here.
Pol Pot?
No.
What?
Myanmar.
Oh, Jesus.
Myanmar at 4 inches.
Okay.
All these are 4 inches. We're getting into the 3 inches now.
Okay.
And let's just say they're not carrying a lot of cock up to Everest.
Nepal
at 3.9 inches.
Wow.
I know, right? Okay, your dad definitely killed some of these people too. And by the way, if he made a cock necklace, it would be pretty small.
Okay.
At 3.8 inches.
3.8. Where? I don't know where else he went.
Well, because they were all over the map.
I mean, they were in Okinawa.
Wait, what was he doing in Okinawa? Just
training.
Like,
it was a base
really?
There. Yeah.
So he goes into Vietnam, he goes into Laos, and he's like, oops, I'm in...
Oh, God. I don't know.
Cambodia. Yeah. He took a boat up
there.
That's
Pol Pot. Okay.
Okay. Now, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Number 2 at 3.8 inches.
Jesus. Is this the North Koreans?
North Koreans.
Wow.
I think it's their food shortages.
Makes their dick smaller.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he would allow them to measure their cocks
and
submit this.
No, I know. Because they would probably be like, his dick is fucking 15 inches long.
I would love to see his dick.
I mean, I think it'd be pretty obvious, but it's not going to surprise you.
Fucking pay. Dear Kim Jong-un, do not ever drink with me, because if you pass out,
I'm looking at your cock.
I'm looking at your cock.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your cock. I'm taking pictures of you with your cock. I'm fucking flicking it.
Do you realize, by the way, of this whole list, even before you end it, that, you know, it's an unfortunate stereotype and I guess reality, but like any group, there has to be guys in each of these countries with fucking hammers on them.
Yeah.
And how baller that is.
I think it's the ones that moved to America.
Like, but there's got to be just some dude, a few, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, dude, that are like
the beauty of the internet.
And wouldn't you love if they wrote in to the show and they were like, hey man, you know, like my name is like Teen Tang or whatever, and I got a fucking 10-inch dick.
I would love pictures and I won't share.
Yeah.
I just want to see it. If you are,
I do too.
By the way, if you're North Korean, definitely send us a picture of your cock.
And if you're on the list.
If you're on the list and coming in at number one.
Number one. Hint, give me the hint. First of all, what's the size?
3.7.
Okay.
And all I'll say is it makes sense why you'd have sex with a lady boy.
Thailand. Wow.
So now let's go to the internet and see the biggest Thai cock we can find. I want to see a big Thai cock. Wow. By the way, I'm not saying I have a big dick. In this whole measurement, I do not have a big dick, but it's bigger than 3.7 inches. All right. Picture. Oh, it's a lady boy.
Of course.
Oh, fuck. Oh, it's all lady boys.
How about you just type in like big Asian dicks?
Yeah, big Asian dicks. And we'll just say they're from Thailand.
Because there's got...
Oh, of course. Dude, he's covered in tats. Look at this fucking guy.
Look at that fucking Holy hammer shit. On that guy.
Fuck yeah. Extremely big Asian dick.
You imagine though, like you're a girl and you're like, well, yeah, I know it's not going to be great. And then this fucking guy shows up.
Dude, you could run the country.
Yeah, you should.
Look at that fucking guy. The guy that looks like he's from fucking Bloodsport.
The guy squatting?
Yeah.
And it's hard?
Sultry rooftop encounter. Young Asian guy with big dick. Super fat what?
Head or something. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or
this right here. Man. Like, these guys should run the world. You know what you are? You're shooting stars. You're outliers.
You're Malcolm Gladwell. Those two guys, Asian guys, fucking.
Yeah, we can't tell if
Look
it's
big. Look at these
it's buried
fucking
in his ass. How fucking
hogs.
Big is that hog? On the left there with the t-shirt up?
Dude, I got to see his face.
What?
His skin color
looks. That's not Photoshopped?
Can you zoom in?
He's got like five countries' averages tied together.
He's got big, thick Asian dick.
Jesus Christ.
Holy fuck. What the fuck?
Fuck.
Okay, go to more Asian dicks.
Yeah.
No, don't chat with them. No, go to the thing. Go to that page. Now click out of that. Now scroll down. Okay, this is the normal Asian dicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, that little boy right, or that, let's, so what, sex, okay, never mind.
All right, back up.
See,
back
okay,
up.
This guy right here to the right.
Yeah.
That's like probably a 4-inch dick. It doesn't look bad.
No, it doesn't look bad at all.
It does not look bad. They call that boyfriend cock.
Boyfriend cock?
That's what the girls call it.
What's that supposed to
mean? It means it's not, it's like you can still do stuff after.
Oh.
It's like, it's not going to ruin your day. Like that dude from fucking Bloodsport is fucking your day up.
Yeah, no, everything's.
God, and his pubic hair is straight.
Yeah, that's, honestly, that looks like a dick that should be in a museum, right? Like it's like.
It doesn't even look like it's been touched.
Back out to the other search before. Jesus Christ. Who's this guy with the boxers right here?
Where, on the
second row, three from the right. This guy.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Dude.
The thick cock.
You know, look at his expression though. That guy's an asshole. You can tell he knows. He walks around all day like everyone thinks I have a fucking little skinny dick in here. You know, he does. He's like, nobody knows I got a fucking hog.
He's walking around the chess tournament. just like, fuck.
What is it next to? Is that like a bottle of shampoo?
Yeah. Oh, it's a bottle of lotion, hand lotion.
And he's like, it's wider than this. Man.
God damn.
Well, if you're one of these guys, you know, write in, let us know.
Yeah. Hey, we love breaking stereotypes. And we got a new game show coming out called Stereotype That.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever see the video?
Do you think if you had a dick like that, you would have even ended up in comedy? I don't think you would.
No. No, I think that goes back to all the things that add up to me. I said to Leanne today, I swear to God, I was on the toilet.
Okay, thank you.
And I said, I want to see some ladyboy dicks.
Okay.
I had someone on stage the other night, like, made real sense about, I think it might have been, I don't know who it was, but about watching trans porn.
Whoa.
So wait, you get a dick that big and you decide to transition?
Fuck.
I can understand transitioning with a small dick. But if you have a big dick, why do you transition?
That first one is insane. That's insane.
That's an insane dick.
I wonder how, like how much, like, because of what's going on in your, like, the sensory overload of looking at her face, if she's like with you and you're like, no way. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know. I guess I was just jerking it off. I don't know what happened. Like,
I don't know. I've never jerked off a female.
No.
But like, I wonder if Leanne dies in like a helicopter crash.
Right.
I wonder if when I start exploring my
that's pretty thick.
Fuck.
I mean, that smile too is what's really upsetting. I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? You look up and you're like, ah, oh, shit. Fuck.
I wonder if I start dating, if I just go like, because I'm 51.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a fuck? I don't care. I like, wonder if I go, why not? Leanne's dead. The love of my life's gone. Why not fuck a lady boy?
Yeah.
I mean, what do I care what people think? No.
No, you know, we already covered that.
I do care what people think.
Well, what are you going to put it on fucking Instagram?
No, you know I'd tell you about it.
Yeah, but I mean, I would give you a high five.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make you feel bad about it.
For real?
No.
If I fucked a lady, like a Thai lady boy,
I'd be like, that's cool. Yeah.
But then you'd be like, and then I'd leave the green room and you'd be like, you know who did I fucked?
Yeah, I'd be like, no. I'd be like, Bert's badass, dude. He was crushing ladyboys on that trip.
You know, can I tell you how meatheaded I am?
When he went to Spread Her Ashes, he ended up fucking all these ladyboys.
When tell me if this, like, snagged you. In The Hangover 2, when Ed Helms gets fucked in the ass by a ladyboy and then he comes inside him.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't get past it.
Yeah. Oh, I finish inside you. That's right. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, one of those things where I was like, you got to tell your wife.
Yeah.
If you cheated on her with a girl, you'd have to tell her.
Yeah.
The dude fucked you in the ass and came inside you.
Yeah. Would you tell me that if that happened to you?
If someone came inside me?
If a lady boy did.
If someone came inside me, I'd definitely tell you. Because I'd be like, dude, I just got came inside.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I would tell you someone came inside me before I told you it was a lady boy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'd probably tell them like hand in hand.
Yeah.
I'd tell you that I got came inside and then look at your face. And then the reveal is, don't worry.
It was a lady boy.
It was a lady boy.
I'd be like, oh, that's
it wasn't funny. Just a dude. I'm not gay.
No. I could see you partying and having it happen and you being like, I don't know, dude. I don't think it really counts.
Where you wake up out of a blackout and you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, just like that. Just like in the movie.
My problem with having sex with a ladyboy would be that...
Cock?
No. Who's dominant?
Oh.
Like if she was like, suck my cock. And by the way, I'm saying ladyboy because it would be happening in Thailand.
Right.
I should say a trans person, mm-hmm. but I don't think I'd fuck a trans person, but I could see that happening in Thailand.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, just you're on vacation.
Yeah. It's fun.
And you're like fucking
having cocktails. Yeah. Sun's
you've
out.
Been to the Four Floors of Horrors, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. There's a place in Taiwan.
Taiwan or Thailand?
Have I been to Taiwan?
Probably. I think you've been to Thailand.
I think I've been to Taiwan.
Oh.
And there's a place called Singapore.
Oh, I have been to Singapore.
And they have the Four Floors of Horrors. And the first one is just like fucking, or no, the first one's like strippers. And then like the fourth floor is all ladyboys. That's what they call them. I'm using their terms.
Okay.
And so I could see drunk, especially with a bunch of dudes. Like I definitely grab a dick. Yeah, I've been there.
There you go. Yes. Oh, there you go.
I'm four at the four floors of whores.
Yeah.
Those are not whores.
Yeah.
I think that's the promoter.
Was this doing gigs?
Yeah, I was doing stand up, and then they were like, hey, do you want to go out? And I was like, yeah, where? And they're like, do you like strip clubs? I was like, I fucking love strip clubs. And they're like, you ever want to go to the four floors of whores? I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. And then they were like, this first floor is
strippers.
Google what the four floors of whores are. I highly suggest it to anyone. It's an abandoned mall. You know how like, you know, in our country, when a mall goes south, it just sells sneakers and jerseys.
Yeah.
Well, in their country, they turn it into whorehouses.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so the top floor is all ladyboys. And I was like, go straight there. That's what all I want to see.
Okay.
It's Orchard Towers. And it's an old mall. And so like they've got like a Sunglass Hut, but then there's just whores in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a Yankee Candle, but there's just whores in there. They got a Lids, but there's just whores in there. It's a fucking...
What does it say? The drop down. Does it say what the four floors are? No, it doesn't. I guess you could say what...
One's like you can straight get jacked off.
Cool.
Like they got like massages and you can get jacked off.
Cool.
Like they were like, do you want that? And I was like, no. I'm not cheating on my wife. I want to just fucking see this.
The first club we... I don't know. That looks like the strip club level, right?
But they definitely knocked a couple drinks out of my hands because I was taking drinks from everyone. And they're like, dude, stop it. Stop it. Because I'm also walking around with a Rolex. Oh. Like, I'm not the best fucking traveler.
Okay.
I was walking around with fucking cash in my hand. I was like Pac-Man Jones in the Four Floors of Horrors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I want to see cocks.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't care. Like, I can go to a strip club and see tits. It's cool. It's fun. But if you're telling me I can go and see fucking... gorgeous chicks with hogs on them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm looking at that. I didn't travel to fucking Singapore for nothing.
Totally, man. Well, four floors of whores, man. Like you guys know, Singapore. Fantastic. Yeah. Bert's given, is this it? Orchard Towers. Okay. It's known as the four floors of whores. Okay. Overview, history. Let's see. Double murders.
Okay.
All right. That's cool. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end on. This was a good episode. This was fun.
This was
we had a good talk.
It was a little deep.
I liked it.
I like it. I like these conversations. I know that I can listen to a podcast sometimes and I'll be like, I'll get into it. Like Theo will share things about like his recovery or stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very heartfelt. And I was like, and I can enjoy it. So I hope everyone enjoyed the conversation.
I'm sure they did.
Pinpoint your trauma. Try to be more like Tom. Be less like me. Unless you're drinking, then be just like me and do not be like Tom.
Okay.
And remember, drink Porosos.
Porosos. Make friends. Bye, guys.
Bye. Love you.
Love you.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call two bears, one cave.